Welcome to this Substack broadcast that is going to tell you the answer that so many of you have asked us to take a look at and give an answer on, which is Mike Gill. And then Brandon, what's his name?
Brendan O'Connell.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to explain those two guys what's going on and basically point out that poor old Brendan didn't do any homework. But remember, Brendan is the one who bashed us and said that we didn't know what we were talking about with the Pilgrim Society. First off, did you notice he had a brilliant Australian-British accent?
Commonwealth accent.
A Commonwealth accent. And he was all so excited that he was basically in a stream of consciousness. Anytime that you'd mention that Mike Gill mentioned Jerry Little, the head of the banking in New Hampshire, he'd then mention 10 other people that he thinks that are associated with them. Brendan O'Connell, did I get it right?
Whatever his name is.
He is a shill. He's an idiot. He didn't even use Wikipedia to do a tiny little search to figure out what's going on. And then he's going on and on about he knows it's true. He loves Mike Gill. Mike Gill's the hero of our time, so on and so forth. No. Mike Gill is not a hero. I'm going to explain it in a minute. But for him to bash us and say that we don't know what we're talking about with the Brits just tells me very clearly that he's part of the trouble, not part of the solution. So I'm going to forget about him now, but don't listen to a word he says, because what he throws out there is nothing more than what he's written down as every name that he's been bashing since he started his own website, which, in fact, who is it that he says that he's bashing with the other ones that Mike Gill doesn't mention? People who have attacked him. And what does he say? Well, if they're attacking me, then they're guilty. They're part of the problem. The man is crazy. Don't listen to a word he says. But that he wants to get all excited about Mike Gill. Okay, get excited about Mike Gill, because if you didn't know about the New Hampshire Trust and Foundation scam that has taken over for offshore banking, then it may come as a big shock to you. But if you simply go and literally to Wikipedia or anywhere, the best news is not on Wikipedia, of course, because that's also a shill site of liberals. Basically, you can find out what the Pandora Papers are about. But remember, we wrote an article, and I think it'll be in the dialogue box below, upon the Panamanian Papers, the Panama Papers, right? The Panama Papers was the first set of documents released by the International Association of Investigative Journalists, I think, is the name of it. But the point is there are hundreds of journalists who worked together for a long time to release the Panamanian Papers. What happened with the Panamanian Papers, Panama Papers? They only released the names of Putin's oligarchs, the United Kingdom oligarchs and aristocrats. A matter of fact, I think Cameron got fired as the prime minister after the release of that. A bunch of people had to get fired in Britain, and they had to literally make a law. I love this. I reported this when it happened. They literally said to the aristocrats, we were going to pass a law that says a child's age of consent should be 6 years old. Imagine the pedophilia involved in that, okay? And they said, okay, members of parliament, either we have to say no to your desire to have children give consent at age six, and then they bumped it up to nine, and in the end, that you won't even believe what happened, then they said, it's either that, or you have to now give us the names of your offshore accounts. Now, as you probably know, the 54 dominions of the United Kingdom, almost all of them have offshore accounts. For instance, in Britain, you have the Isle of Man, you have Jersey, you have all kinds of little tiny places where money gets sent out digitally to them that is stolen from UK countries, United Kingdom countries, and it's held in offshore accounts because they don't pay taxes to get it out there. They shuffle it around underneath names of different companies, shill companies, until pretty soon the money has been laundered and cleaned and can come back into the country. So the stolen money, no taxes were paid on it, and most of that money was done by nefarious actions, gets to come back to them nice and clean. This is a money laundering scam. If you don't know this, then you paid no attention to the Panama Papers. Then there was the Paradise Papers, same thing. And then there was the Pandora Papers. The Pandora Papers are 17 million documents for thousands and thousands. I forget how many thousands. I think it's over 10,000 companies that were being shuffled through just one company called Algocal, A-L-G-O-C-A-L. Well, the Panama Papers were through Mossack Francesca. They spell it different every time they put it in the news. But that was just one company, and it was one building, one secretary being the agent for tens of thousands of people using these offshore accounts. And as you've heard me say 1,000 times, if you've been listening to us, every single judge in America that is corrupt, every single politician in America that's corrupt, every single hedge fund in America that says they give good returns, steal the money, or they're using laundered money and it gets put into either offshore accounts or bearer bonds. And the bearer bonds can be turned into cash. And so that's the reason we know that the head of the Supreme Court went to Malta. Why? To get paid off for him going from supposedly being a conservative to a total liberal, right? He was paid off. Same thing for all the Supreme Court justices. Same thing for every Supreme Court justice in every state that is appointed. Those are the most corrupt people there. That's how they make sure that this laundering never, ever gets caught. No one ever gets prosecuted. And then you have to look careful because the Pandora Papers reveal that $932 billion is being held by a bank in New Hampshire. That bank was founded in 1909. It's called St. Mary's, and it was founded by Canadian immigrants, Canadian-British immigrants, who came to New Hampshire to create the biggest fraud going on right now in America, and they are called credit unions. This credit union, founded in 1909, was founded by a minister at St. Mary's Church for Canadian immigrants. That should make you a little bit suspect, who came from Canada to America, who had a ton of money. And it was supposedly, you know, philanthropic and good, really for good purposes. No, it uses the first laws ever created for credit unions. And later, those laws have been modified, particularly right now, from a state senator named Jerry Little. He's in control of the all the banks in New Hampshire and the credit unions. And so this is the way it works. Anytime you want to do something really illegal, you create a private club. These credit unions, especially this particular one, is a private club. You pay $5 a share. That's it. The price never goes up, never goes down. It's never capitalized. Therefore, they don't make any money. Therefore, whatever happens in that club never has to be revealed to anyone. So like offshore accounts, or it used to be Swiss numbered accounts, they are completely secret and they don't give out the names. But the SEC and the FTA and the feds went to Switzerland at one point because they weren't getting their cut of the deal and caused all numbered accounts in Switzerland to be canceled. So they turned into numbered gold bullion accounts. Well, that's just the tip of the iceberg. And we've told you that there's as much gold in Zurich at the end of the runway in the gold bullion vault as there is in all of the gold reserves in all countries in the world. That's the German Double Eagle gold as well as the Yamashita gold. Where did it go? It had to go somewhere. The Bank for International Settlement was in control of all of that. And they're still in control of all the central banks. And they cover and give clearances for every single derivative deal, which we're talking about untold trillions. Some estimate over $100 trillion are being bet at this very moment in derivatives. Who backs it up? The Bank for International Settlement. How can they back it up? Where do they have the assets for that? They don't even collect assets. They don't make money. They're holding the gold as the assets, and they also lease the assets, which we've seen happen with Deutsche Bank a few years ago when they were going bankrupt because of derivatives. And then all of a sudden, all this gold came onto the market and was sold. It's not real gold. It's paper gold. So the offshore accounts created by the British, and I think Michael McKibben would tell us that that came from, he has the exact words for it. But when slavery was ended in Britain, they actually gave a compensation to the slaveholders, and that's what created offshore banking. All this tremendous amount of money paid in perpetuity because they couldn't come up with all the money up front. And who runs that? Offshore accounts. So there's no such thing as a corrupt financial person that doesn't have an offshore account. Matter of fact, most of the stars that they quote, who are the left-wing liberal crazy people, have their accounts in this. And if Brendan had done any study, all you have to do is go to Wikipedia and say, give me a list of everyone who was named. So you just put in Panama Papers, list. You put in Paradise Papers, list. Pandora Papers, list. And you're going to find that King Charles has his money in there. The Queen has her money. Putin has multiple accounts all over the place. Every single corrupt dictatorial leader has money in these accounts. Now, those are offshore accounts with shill companies that are laundering money.
And the
shell. Oh, yeah, shell. Not shill. Even though they are shills, it's a shell company. Sorry. And you'll read that in the article I wrote years ago on this to reveal this to people, to say, make me the president and I can end all this corruption immediately. I will go seize all the digital money, because there's only a couple of these in the Bahamas and in the Cayman Islands where there's actually any real assets being held. And they have all kinds of assets. They have artworks, they have gold, they have all this stuff. But most of them are just digits. So we seize all of them.
So basically they have servers that are parked in some warehouse on an island offshore. And in those computers, they're holding these digits that represent wealth. And this is why it's so important, at least my perspective, is that the fiat currency that's issued by the Federal Reserve collapse totally, because it's that fiat currency that's creating all this evil. And I was devastated when Douglas was telling me about this earlier today, that even Putin is involved in the gang. I mean, I was holding up for just a sliver of hope that maybe he could take him down in the Ukraine and we'd be done with this evil. He's part of it.
All the Russian oligarchs, it has been proven, have their money when they leave the country after the national industries are turned over to oligarchs. The oligarchs leave Russia. Where do they go? They go to the city of London. And where do they put their money? In Cyprus, in offshore accounts in Cyprus. This is well known. Now, one could say that the $27 trillion that we owe the U.S. Federal Reserve, which is basically British bankers, that is a spit in the bucket of how much is in these offshore accounts. And it's still going on to this day. So we demanded that to end all of this, we simply have to consider them all criminals, end all offshore accounts, and put the people in jail who have money there. Why? Because they didn't pay taxes on it. That's the shill. Hedge funds. Hedge funds, at the end of the year, do trading where they buy stocks that look like they've lost money so that they can state they made no money in the year. So all the money that they really did make, which is written off by the debt they just bought from somebody else, that's why the banks buy other banks' debt, so that they don't actually have any income. And then they move it, like George Soros. He gave $84 billion at one time to NGOs. $84 billion that he had stolen. It's in Caracas. Still there today, his son Alexander, I'm sure he left him a nice bank account there, and hopefully he'll be dead soon, George Soros, because he's gone straight to the devil. But anyway, the point is, this is still going on. So when we did our expose on it, the intelligence report on it, and when the federal agencies in America closed down the Swiss numbered accounts, which are really offshore accounts also, because you pay no taxes. This is drug money, big, big, big time political money, drug money, war money. It's all the corrupt money going into these offshore accounts. Now, those offshore accounts still exist. They didn't close down a single one except for Mossack Francesca. And even them, I believe that they're open again now. Imagine that they know that they're criminals. They know that they're the South American, Bogota, Colombia criminals. The cartel lords in Mexico all have accounts in these offshore accounts. So if you closed them all down, seize the money, and then we say, we'll give it back if you can prove you paid taxes on it. Otherwise, we're taking it. But they put it in everybody else's name. And so it's just like the Bush family, Buhari Limited, Buhari, you know, all the different names of these companies, those are just shell companies. that are shills that are simply laundering this money. So immediately thereafter, what happened? Now, most people know that Delaware is the home of offshore account. If anybody says they're incorporated in Delaware, assume that they are criminals. And where does Biden hang out? In Delaware, right? And he's got a home right there. And so the Delaware accounts, there's no reason for these accounts to exist except for criminality. So we knew about Delaware. We knew that there were some of these in New York. They've never been named. Some are in Florida. But there's really big ones that happened right after the Panama Papers that opened up in America. And who started putting their money here? British monarchy, British aristocrats. And they opened new offshore accounts. Imagine this, an offshore account in Wyoming, an offshore account in Nevada, an offshore account in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, which is the one that Brendan, whatever his name is, and Mike Gill rage about. The South Dakota offshore account. Well, they have been prosecuted again and again for criminality, especially drug running, human trafficking, and every kind of evil you can imagine. And yet they're still open. Why? Because it's legal. And so it comes down to the bank regulators. That's who controls this. So we can see right now that there's over $300 billion right now that we know of that you can look up on Wikipedia and find out who is putting the money there, if you'd like to, and what's going to happen to them. Nothing happens to them. Why? Because there's hardly such a thing as a power broker in America that isn't part of this scheme. Mike Gill is one of them. He's one of the biggest ones. Why? He said, according to him, and I've looked it up, I can't get proof of this, but he said that at one point he was the number one mortgage company in America. He held more mortgages than any other company in America. Well, we've explained to you why mortgages are absolutely corrupt. Well, here is Mike Gill, who says he's a horse racer and says that he has had the, you know, multi-million dollar horses that have won races against even King Charles's horses. And he brags about this in some of his videos, which I've now watched a bunch of them. And by the way, again, thank you. Who was it that turned us on to say, looking at these?
He wouldn't want his name out there.
Oh, okay.
So, but everybody was. And I could just see what I saw was the network and how it was, the information was getting to me. And that network was something I didn't trust. So all automatically I'm going, okay, I feel like I've got some shills here. And I kept pushing those videos for you to watch, but we just don't have enough time. But you finally found some, and I'm glad you're reporting this, because you also said something earlier I want you to make sure to talk about. That could it be that the reason that Brendan is attached to Mike Gill in this way is because he's deflecting the blame of the Pilgrim Society onto what might end as the Americans?
Correct.
Explain that. I think that's worthwhile.
Yes. St. Mary's Bank was started as a credit union for Canadians. Okay, anytime you say Canadian, read in British agent, Crown agent. That's what you need to do. So what we're saying here is that the new scam is not just to go and leave from the offshore accounts the 54 dominions of the United Kingdom. No. It's come to America, and now it's completely legal in America. And the bankers and the politicians allow this to happen. The governor has to be aware of it. The politicians in the state have to be aware of it. There's no way around that. If I can figure this out in 10 minutes, then certainly if you're a senator in New Hampshire, you know that Jerry Little, who was a senator in New Hampshire, is the most corrupt man in the state of New Hampshire. And I'm going to explain more of that in just a second. So the offshore accounts, they're no longer offshore. They're in America. And they've even, you can't even find the names of the ones that are in New York City and in Florida, but there's indications that they've been going on for a long time, just like Delaware. So if you're incorporated in Delaware, or you're putting your money in an offshore account in Florida or New York, it's the same thing as having it in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Wyoming, or Nevada. So that was the next stage of this. But what's been going on since forever, 1909, the rich people on the East Coast, and let's point out that Bush Sr., who is the son of Prescott Bush, who was, of course, prosecuted for giving money to being the financier of the Nazis and of Hitler, their bank was closed down. And that was prior to that, it was Brown Brothers Harriman. And so this is the lineage of Bush. So we've had two presidents that were 100% part of this. Why do they still have their stupid house up in Kennebunkport, Maine? Because offshore, a few miles from there, they can go to a place called the Isles of Shoals. And this is what I believe is what I've been looking for some time. I didn't know about this until today. They say the richest group in America, which is run by Prince Charles, is called the Club of the Isles. Well, I've searched that. It's not the Isle of Skye, the Isle of Man. It's not the Jersey. It's none of those. It is offshore in New Hampshire, and it's called the Isles of Shoals. And the isle that has a big building in it where they have their secret meetings is called Oceanic, or the Isle of Skye, which then is very confusing. Is Isle of Star, which is very confusing with the other isles that Prince Charles is connected with, which do have offshore accounts. And so one could really get confused until today when it became perfectly clear to me, because we know that Pence has had secret meetings with Jerry Little on that isle. We know that the drug lords come up there to have secret meetings on that isle because it's offshore and they don't want to come directly into America. We know that this is the drug laundering bank, the biggest one in America. And we know that members of the Colombian cartel, the Mexican cartels, all shuffle their money through this because they launder the money from drug money and turn it into a trust or a foundation. So the new scam is to have a credit union, which is a private club that everybody buys a share. All you need is one share, then you get to vote, and you get no money. There's nothing capitalized, so there's no income. So the state isn't missing any income because this is just a club that holds money in secret for the richest families in the world and the biggest oligarchs and the biggest drug lords in the world, under the auspices of a trust or a foundation. And I've now read all the rules, not all of them, but the rules that apply to this. And it's been taken to court. People have tried to say this needs to stop. Nope. Jerry Little, the head of the banks in New Hampshire, he's the bank commissioner. He basically makes sure that this never gets stopped, because when you have a private club, you can do any darn thing you want in it. Okay, as long as you're not avoiding taxes. Well, they're not avoiding taxes because they don't pay any taxes. They don't make any money because it's not capitalizable. So what happens? They hold the money and the money shuffles. And of course, this is surely, I haven't figured out that connection, but it's surely connected to the Bank of Nova Scotia and the Bank of Scotland. These are the two big banks that also are part of this. The Bank of Nova Scotia is one of the only places you can trade in gold bullion. So anyway, the point is that in New Hampshire, in Manchester, where the St. Mary's Bank is, and they look like a normal credit union, and they have multiple offices in New Hampshire. Why did they choose New Hampshire? Because it has the fewest people. It's the easiest to manipulate. And the entire East Coast has been ruled by the Boston Brahmins since the days the British owned the entire East Coast, all the colonies. So New Hampshire is easily manipulated. Why do you think that Mitt Romney moved to Massachusetts to run for office? Why do you think that Deval Patrick was the governor of Massachusetts? And why do people say Connecticut is the most corrupt state in America? Well, that's because Connecticut, New Hampshire, Vermont, and Maine, and a few other places on the East Coast all belong to a group of bankers who changed their money over from Prescott Bush's Union Bank to the first bank called Merrill, which later became Merrill Lynch, which has absorbed most of the largest banks of the East Coast except for New York. And we've often pointed out that the Dutch in New York, as well as the British, were kind of in a war with the what they called the British Pilgrims in the other parts of north of New York and New England. And so there's been this battle going on forever. But they won the battle by having credit unions. And this was the first credit union in America. It's the biggest credit union in America, St. Mary's Bank, which is really a credit union. And because they're a private club, they don't pay taxes and they offer all services there are. But when it comes down to doing the big deals, somebody gets in a boat and goes out to the aisle, the Isles of Shoals, to the aisle called Star Isle or Oceanic. Strange that they don't really tell you the real name. If you look on a map, it'll say Oceanic. But if you look closely, you'll find that on this little tiny island, I think it's 40 square miles or something, there's this gigantic hotel, and they seem to have their own district. So I would assume if I look further, I'm going to find out there's some sovereign aspect to that. Probably it's British owned. The Isle of Star, Oceanic, is more than likely owned by the British, just like we just found out that Florida and the Reedy River was bought by the British. And because the Treaty of Paris said that anything that the British had as assets or debt in America, they had a year after the end of the American Revolution to assess that debt, give the debt over to the colonies and say, you owe us this money. So that's the reason that Florida is, parts of it are still owned by the British. The major, more than 50% of the city of Jerusalem is owned by the British. Remember, Jerusalem, the British used to own all of Israel, right? But they still own key places so that they can conduct this business and say that it has nothing to do with America. So the big deals go down on that aisle. They come back to St. Mary's. They go into a private account. And we're talking $932 billion that we know of so far from the 17 million pages that this International Association of Journalists is investigating, investigative journalists. They're investigating this. And what have they done? They've only looked at 2%. But if you go to even Wikipedia, or where you can get in a variety of places, just put in a list of people named in the paradise, in the Pandora papers, you will see a list. You won't even believe it. Just about every corrupt person you can name. And remember, they have hidden the names of the British and hidden the names of Americans. Only a few are listed in some cases, because they, both with the Panama Papers, with the Paradise Papers, and with the Pandora Papers, for some reason, the American involvement just doesn't seem to hardly be mentioned. But you can still find all this out. It's all on record. It's very easy to find. So New Hampshire is the place. And isn't it funny that how many times have you heard me say, if a political poll comes out of New Hampshire, it's a lie. They can control the elections in New Hampshire so easily, it's ridiculous. Same thing with many of these New England states. They have very small numbers of people. They're very easy to control. And so all they have to get is three or four people in the right position, and they basically control these corrupt credit unions. Now, I'm now researching to see if there are these corrupt credit unions in Maine. It looks like there are. It looks like there's some of these corrupt ones, credit unions in Connecticut, in Massachusetts. Those I've found, yes, they are. There are. So this is only the tip of the iceberg, folks. The tip of the iceberg. It's much worse than I'm even telling you. And remember, only 2% of the Pandora Papers have been released out of the 17 million documents they're looking at. Now, when you see the list, you're going to think, well, that's only 2%. This is a list of hundreds of people by name. And basically, Putin has Putin has a mistress. She's got an account there. Putin has...
But how did you know that? Did it have her name? And in parentheses, Putin's mistress? How did you know that?
Yes, that's exactly what it does. Yes, the International Association for Investigative Journalism named it.
Oh, okay.
You can see this.
Yes, okay.
It's part of, if you just look for the Pandora papers, you'll see all of this. Okay. So, Mike Gill, let's go to Mike Gill. Mike Gill, you'd think, well, wait a second. How can a guy in New Hampshire, which, you know, there's it's a tiny place. I forget how many people are in the entire state, but it's less than in the city of New York, okay, for the entire state. So how is it that Mike Gill can say that he is the biggest mortgage dealer in America and he works out of New Hampshire, and that with his wealth, he has horse stables that have horses that are worth millions and millions of dollars, that have been some of the greatest horse racing horses that there are. And he brags that he has beaten Charles, King Fatfinger Charles III, again and again in horse racing. And let's remember, what was the queen involved in? Horse racing, right? Horse racing, gambling. All horse races are rigged, the big ones. All big name sports are rigged. This is gambling, okay? So Mike Gill, yes, when you listen to him, or even when you listen to Brendan What's-His-Face, you're going to go, oh my gosh, this is the biggest revelation ever. We have to get behind these guys. We have to support this. Mike Gill, I've now listened to him ad infinitum. And what does he say? I have all the documents. I have the documents they signed offering me $15 million to back off of revealing who they were. But what did he do? He brags about this. Mike Gill brags that he put up billboards on the side of roads with the names of the corrupt people. Jerry Little is the head of the banking commission in New Hampshire. He's guilty. All, the IRS, the FBI, everybody who is in a position to stop this is part of it. And he literally had them all in a room. He filmed them, and he points out that, what's the guy from Veritas?
Oh, O'Keefe.
O'Keefe was part of this. O'Keefe gave him the secret cameras and was going to bust this. And then he found out that O'Keefe was part of them.
Yeah. I already said O'Keefe is the biggest show out there.
So O'Keefe, yeah. He has films of the meetings where they've all signed off of an affidavit stating that if he will not, with the non-disclosure agreement, if he will not reveal their names, they'll give him $50 million in cash. The only way that could possibly happen if he is one of them. He would have had to have known them. He would have had to have been using the system. He's in New Hampshire, so where else was he keeping his money except at St. Mary's Credit Union, so that he didn't have to pay taxes? How did he get all the money for the most expensive racehorses in the world? And then now he wants to bust them all, and he has to be running from them. He's hiding and can only do things now via phone because he's put together all the documents and he's given them to the IRS. He gave them to the Inspector General of the U.S. Treasury, who then turned on him, he says, and says, I'm going to put you away for this. IRS, FBI, you name it.
Well, had he been following our work for all these years, he would know that those are all the enemies. He has aligned himself with enemies. He thinks these are big revelations. But to us, it's got, yeah, that's who the enemy is.
To do business with them, he had to know they were corrupt. To have such big business practices, he had to be corrupt.
But maybe he didn't realize that it goes all the way to the crown.
Well, he thought that he could. And Brendan is getting so excited because he says, I love this guy because he's pounding them. He's hammering them.
Yeah, and Brendan deflects on the Pilgrim Society.
Correct. So that they don't look towards England, and they don't look towards the city of London, and they don't look towards the British monarchy, which is not British at all. It's German. And by the way, the other day, I love this one. King Charles went to Germany and said he was praising to the high heavens the beautiful relationship that Germany and Britain has always had. Did he forget World War I and II? Did he forget what's going on now? That just shows exactly who he is. That was one of his first official deals, was to go to Germany and literally praise them as if they were God-given and that their relationship is special.
Yeah. But the Brits at that higher level of Charles and the Pilgrim Society, they're all Nazis, and the Germans, Nazis, they're all Nazis. So yeah, they have that commonality, and now they're trying to bring all the Nazis together in the Ukraine.
Absolutely. One of the monarchs went over, he abdicated, he went over and he joined Hitler, and you can see pictures of him marching right next to Hitler and the National Socialist Group, the Nazis. So, you know, it's completely fake, folks. So Mike Gill, don't believe for one second that Mike Gill is innocent. He couldn't have done what he has sworn, and created affidavits for her and turned over to everybody you could turn it over to unless he was 100% guilty himself. You see? So, Brendan, you're a shill. You are a British shill. You're protecting the Canadian-created credit union that gives the ability to take over for offshore accounts because they're trusts and they're foundations. And who's in these trusts and foundations? The children of the richest bankers in the world, of course, and the monarchy and the oligarchs of Russia. And you can't, Imelda Marcos, you can't name a corrupt person that hasn't been named in these three different revelations about offshore accounts. And now, because the St. Mary's was never mentioned in the Pandora Papers, but they call it offshore banking. Well, it's offshore because it's off the shore of New Hampshire, and it is on the Isle of Shoals, which I believe is the Club of the Isles. And so now I finally believe that that's true.
Is it the Isles of Shoals or Isle of Shoals?
Isles.
Is that right? So that's the only one.
Correct.
That has a plural.
Correct.
Because the Isle of Man is not plural.
Correct.
The other isles you named are not.
Correct.
And they say they gather at the Isles.
Yes. It's the Club of the Isles.
Club of the Isles.
Called Star Island.
No.
Oceanic Island.
Oceanic, like the Atlantean period. They come from that. I bet you we would look at that and go way back in there.
Anglo-American. Yeah. This is what they set up in 1909 before they set up the U.S.
1909, that's the Empire Press Union. You keep saying that date. This is when this huge turning happened for Western civilization. And it was all bankers, brokers, newspaper people, all this.
And in 1913, the U.S. Federal Reserve, which is not U.S., it is not federal, and it has no reserve.
Blah, blah, blah.
I always like to say that. Brendan was going on about that as if that's some revelation. So the point is, when they set this up, it was the ultimate scam to hide the wealth of the British kept in America. And where does it always go through? If you want to look at any of the big companies that have taken over America, they came through Canadian sources in most cases. So this is nothing more than an extension of that. And New Hampshire is completely rigged. And Sununu and Jerry Little and all the other people that Mike Gill makes reference to, who we know are corrupt, are not, and Lewandowski. Why did President Bush's press guy, Lewandowski, who is like the number one lead person in Mike Gill's story, why is he running for office in New Hampshire? Why would anybody, and why would any state allow?
I associate him with Trump, Lewandowski.
Yes.
Okay.
That means Trump is part of this.
Yeah, I thought you said Bush. But
he has to be part of it.
Then it gets more interesting because the judge that is listening to this Trump case, Michael has been doing the background on him and tracks it back to actually the merchant bankers. Oh, we can't wait to get to that part of the story. But keep that in mind, people. As Douglas is telling you this part of the story, remember this when you learn about this corrupt judge.
Remember the Mercers who owned Fox? And then when...
And had a special deal with Bannon?
And Trump and Bannon too. And that was the money behind Bannon. Uh-huh. I always pointed that out. So the Mr. Mercer gave it to his daughter and then basically... He said he got out of it so it wouldn't look like the Mercers were controlling Fox News as well as all of the other ones, because the other ones are controlled by who? The City of London. Now, in the City of London, the original merchants to this very day have their own parliament, and they don't take orders from London. They're their own city. The City of London is a separate sovereign, basically a nation, but it's an economic financial nation. And that's also where the Temple Bar is. That's where the lawyers all work out of. Even American lawyers take their oath and their vow to the bar. The bar is in England. So in the City of London, all the original merchants were called Mercers. So if your name is Mercer, that means that you are part of the City of London. And what is that. That's, of course, where they keep their money there. But over here in America, from the time of 1909 on, they've been hiding their money in St. Mary's because everybody thought St. Mary's is, you know, just a nice little church-founded bank, credit union that was trying to help poor people. So yes, they have a bunch of banks, I think about 10 or so in New Hampshire, but that's not the credit union that we're talking about. You can't get into this other credit union unless you're invited. So Pence is known to have gone to the Isle of Shoals, to the Isles of Shoals, to Oceanic or Star Island, and he had secret deals there. Lewandowski has had secret deals there. We know that people are coming and going to that island like crazy. Why? That's like, why would the Bushes love Kennebunkport? Yes, they were raised there, but why did they go to Maine to begin with? Because they had to hide out after Prescott Bush was basically prosecuted for being a banker who supported the Nazis. So we can point out how you can get in a boat in Kennebunkport, and in 40 minutes, you can be at the Isles of Shoals, the Isle of Oceanic, and its special district called Star. So Mike Gill is as guilty as the people he is saying that are the big ones stealing money, laundering money.
You see, he's saying Kennebunkport, but that's also the place where the Kennedys would hang out and all that wealth.
A lot of them, yes. Connecticut, Rhode Island.
Because there's tall, I see chatter in the internet that they want the Kennedy to run for president, that he might be a candidate. And I go, yeah, well, he's one of them.
Well, Robert Kennedy Jr., who is supposed to be the leader of the anti-vax movement.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
His recent book was edited by the three biggest corrupt people that you can mention in that field. That would be Robert Malone, Richard Fleming, and who's the third one? David Martin. They edited his book and took out anything that was actually damnable.
Well, then did he know that it was being edited by them?
He is just like the 9/11 truther movement.
Uh-huh.
He moved in to take over so everybody has faith in him. I know people who say, oh, if he runs, I'll vote for him. Well, he is corrupt too. You can't get any more corrupt than the Kennedys. Don't forget Joseph Kennedy, okay? Don't forget the Kennedys. Why did they kill them? Because they knew of the corruption. I mean, we have John F. Kennedy telling us all about the corruption, describing it in absolute detail, and he was killed. And then his brother, who was a lawyer, the attorney general, they killed him too. Why? Because they were going to try to bust this old British system that controls our economy. Now, this isn't just New Hampshire, okay? I am sure that if I start looking, I will find this in most states, especially any state that can be controlled by the elections because the numbers are so small. Don't forget, when Trump lost, some of the biggest numbers that were manipulated in the wee hours of the morning were on the East Coast, right? Look at New York. I mean, how could it be that so many people can support the crazy left-wing Democrats in these cities? Because it's been corrupted since 1979, I think it was, in the 70s, with Jimmy Carter, who worked with Mark Malik Brown to create Optek, which still controls all the electronic election machines in America. So they control the politicians, they control the state legislatures, they control the banking commissioners, they control the IRS, they control the FBI in these states. And supposedly the FBI, remember, anybody who doesn't know that it's the CIA and the FBI bringing the fentanyl across the border after it's made in America and boxed up in boxes that come from industrial boxes coming from manufacturers here in America. And let's remember that every year there's enough fentanyl comes across the border, and each fentanyl pill is 10 to 100 times stronger than the stuff they use in the hospital, which will kill you if you take it. They have, I stopped counting, but they have confiscated enough fentanyl to kill all Americans, all 330 million Americans, however many there are, could be all dead by taking the fentanyl that is allowed to come across the border. Why do you think politicians vote for anti-constitutional, unconstitutional laws that allow illegal aliens to come into this country, because that's where the drugs come in. You can see it every week. They'll have a picture of a load of fentanyl. What was one just recently? It was like, I forget, thousands of pounds of fentanyl, enough to kill every American. But that's not all. It's every drug. It's every type of drug. Marijuana, they used to say it was all marijuana. No, incorrect. Marijuana is in most states. It's so easy to get it because it's now legalized. And we know that the judge who was basically running the kangaroo court against Trump a second time and double jeopardy. Remember, they are prosecuting him for what Trump already won. On the day, this is interesting, the day that the indictment came down was the day that Stormy Daniels, whatever her real name is, had to pay another $100,000, $125,000 to Trump, which makes $600,000 she had to pay for Trump being already tried for these crimes. So this is double jeopardy. Well, Trump knows that. He doesn't even have to show up for the indictment. He could have, DeSantis said that he would protect him so they couldn't have extradition from Florida. No, Trump showed up because they know that Trump, this fake indictment, is going to get Trump elected. And Trump has to know about this because there are records of Pence, when he was the vice president, going to the Isles of Shoals, to Star Island, Oceanic Island, for some strange reason, again and again. Lewandowski's gone there again and again. Now he's going to run to be a state senator in New Hampshire. Why? Because the elections are rigged. He'll certainly get elected. So anyone who's in the know knows that $932 billion we know is being laundered through St. Mary's Credit Union / bank in New Hampshire. So they're trying to get a piece of the pie. And so Mike Gill, you need to just be quiet, Mike, because you're, as Brendan keeps saying, he'll be dead any minute. He'll be dead any minute. He would have been dead a long time ago if he wasn't one of them. And the evidence that he has that he hands out to everybody, Veritas and every generalist that he sees, he's not meeting with anyone personally now, but you can get those documents. And what do they say? The proof is there. So why isn't the IRS, the FBI, the CIA involved in this? Why is Mike Gill, no one has heard about him, and they're squelching everything that he puts out, so that the only way we heard of Mike Gill is our own team members bringing it to our attention, saying, look at this. And who did he interview with? You got Brendan, this shill, this British agent, this crown agent. Doesn't that tell you something right there? Who else is interviewing him? No one. Well, if this is the biggest story in American financial history for corruption, and no one's picking up on it, it's because part of it's true and part of it's not true. Mike Gill is not an innocent person. He's not an innocent bystander. That is completely nonsensical, just based upon his own words that he's given out in video after video. Who is involved? Everyone from the top down, because these are state credit unions that are federal state credit unions. Now you say, well, how can that be? Are they insured by the FDIC and things like that? No, they're not. They go under credit union laws, and credit union laws are so weird and so specific that there have been cases brought against St. Mary's, and in every case, St. Mary's wins. And Jerry Little, the person who was in charge of those cases, is part of the payoff. He's part of this money laundering. He's part of bringing the drugs into America. He's part of corrupt elections. Of course he has to be. How could he have become the man that owned more mortgages in America through his company than any other person in America from New Hampshire? Folks, that's not possible. Manchester, New Hampshire. Have you ever been there? You can shoot an arrow and it'll go from one end of town to the next. But it does have a nice access to go out to the Isles of Shoals, which I believe is the Club of the Isles that you have heard so much about. It's like the Committee of 300. Well, that doesn't really exist. But then at the end of that, Coleman and John Coleman and others will tell you the Committee of 300 is the Club of the Isles. And who's the head of the Club of the Isles? King Charles. Fat fingers. Old beefy fingers. Charles III. And who else has their money that was shown in these papers, all three of these releases of these papers? The Queen. The Queen's like the number one person with the greatest amount of money, which we've told you again and again. To say they're worth $400 million is absolutely insane. They are worth trillions of dollars, but they can't bring it back into the country. So going back to my other point, when this came out, the Panama Papers came out, the members of parliament had to decide, are you going to reveal your offshore accounts, naming every one of them and how much money you have in them? Or are you going to press to have the age of consent in Britain and in all, that would be all UK countries, certainly the Dominions, maybe not Australia and Canada, but probably there too. Age of consent for pedophilia, 6 years old. Then it went up to 9. Now I believe, and I can't get quite the straight story on this, but I believe that it's now the age of consent is like 9 years old. I believe they passed a law, but I haven't seen the law. But in the news, it was talking about this, and these are members of parliament saying, yes, we totally agree. The age of sexual consent is 9 years old for a child. Well, they gave up their offshore account list, where their money is, how much money they have. They would rather give up that because why? That's so protected by the crown. It's never going to stop because they wanted to be able to have pedophilia rampant in Britain. And, you know, they call it grooming. It's not grooming, it's raping. And we know that the grooming going on in Britain is so profound that the police are in on it and they seldom ever prosecute anyone. Sometimes they'll get a gang, like outside in the outskirts of London, there was a gang who had hundreds of cases where this gang was raping every girl that was walking to school. None of those people were ever prosecuted. And who were they? Immigrants, supposedly. They're not immigrants. It's an invasion. And they basically, that's to cover for what the members of parliament are doing. So that's our opinion on Mike Gill and the person who said that we are crazy to state that the Pilgrim Society is the controlling factor here. Brendan, whatever his name is, Brendan Hyperactive, he is carrying on so fast you can't even understand what he's saying. And he's so excited because he thinks that this is going to distract the world to say, hey, let's look at what's going on in New Hampshire. But he doesn't mention all the things I'm telling you. In other words, he didn't do 10 minutes of research. So why is it he's so upset? Why is it that he's so emphatic? Why is it that he's just absolutely out of his mind with ecstasy? Because it's a distraction from reality. Because the Pandora Papers have only been, the surface has been scratched, 2%. Well, some say 17%. But the point is somewhere between 2 to 17% of the 17 million documents. So they've grabbed the names of these people. They put them on a list. But we still don't know all the details. But it's easy to know the details. If there is a rich oligarch, if anybody who is filthy rich or gives good returns on their hedge fund, they're guilty, period. That's all there is to it. They're stealing money from this country. 60% of the wealth of all nations goes through offshore accounts, folks. In America, it's 65%. So 65% of the GDP, which oftentimes goes through asset management companies, the New York Stock Exchange, the Chicago Commodities Exchange, the New York Commodities Exchange, all of that money is tax-free. That's the only way a hedge fund can give the returns that they give. New York Mellon, one of their big hedge funds, they give like 20-some percent returns every year, but you have to invest like $10 million before you can get into it. How is that possible? It's not possible. It is certainly not possible. So these hedge funds, these oligarchs, these big bankers, the money stolen from us that gets paid back to the U.S. Federal Reserve. And anybody who tells you that, like Yellen was telling us the other day, no, the Federal Reserve, they just do what the U.S. Treasury tells them to do. Wrong. Look at the Fed fund and the new one, Fed line. The Fed is taking over the U.S. Treasury, and Yellen is 100% complicit with it. So who owns the Fed? Those are British bankers. Just look into it. Who owns the largest asset management companies? BlackRock. BlackRock now manages the debt of the U.S. Treasury, which means BlackRock manages the Fed's debt. You have to be insane not to realize, if you look at BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, T. Rowe Price, half of them have a pirate ship as their logo because they were the same pirates who never let the American Revolution end and still are controlling us to this very day. So sorry, New Hampshire, you've been busted. And sorry, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, you've been busted. And if the politicians, if they would simply look, do the slightest bit of research, if they don't stand up and say these things have to end, then you know that they're complicit. And I'm afraid to have to tell you, I don't know anyone in Washington, D.C. that is not complicit with these crimes. And anything they're doing in the House or Senate for investigations, no one ever gets prosecuted. Those are to sweep the dirt under the rug. And we've seen this time and time again. So there's our answer to those of you who keep begging us to address Mike Gill. Mike Gill, because he's not dead, proof to me that he's one of them. So we'll be addressing this. If you have other questions, you can send them to us and we can address it. But now I'm going to rush off and do a talk on exorcism and the fact that, yes, our economic system certainly does require an exorcism, and offshore accounts should be closed down immediately. And
they're not going to be, because all the people that would do it are a part of it. The only way this is going to collapse is for us to stand back and just let the dollar collapse and be okay with it.
Yeah, there's really, when it's legal, as I've always said, anytime I look at corruption, where's the first place I go to see if it's legal? And this is completely legal. Offshore accounts are still legal. They're in our country. And these credit union trust foundations are just another deeper step into the evil that controls the slave economy here in America.